I always worry when I'm assigned a text from Romans, simply because it is so filled with theology. It seems to be the most theology-packed book of the Bible, second only, of course, to Chronicles. But in this text, we see Paul, who gives us words that are filled with, well, paradoxes and tensions. On one hand, he tells us to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles. And then, on the other hand, he tells us to do something actively which itself is divisive. That is, to avoid them. He warns us about those who promulgate false doctrine. He says they deceive the hearts of the naive. But then in the very next sentence, he urges us to be among the naive by being innocent as to what is evil. That's the kind of stuff that drives Pauline scholars nuts. Think what it does to a simple Old Testament teacher. St. Paul's words speak to a reality of a tension that has always, even now, and will until the end of the ages, exist within the church. Unity versus schism, true doctrine versus false doctrine. It seems the Church of Christ is being rent asunder, not from outside, but from within, by her own children. We remember that Jesus prayed before he was arrested and condemned, prayed to his Father that they may all be one. And the unity that the church might have is one that is always based in a shared confession, which is itself a gift of the Father in answer to the prayer of his Son. Division in the church is contrary to our baptism, our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. In baptism, the baptized are made one with him and with each other in the womb of their mother, the church. Indeed, it has been said that if God is our Father, then the church is our mother. And yet we see that mother abused by her own children. Paul warns us about those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. We see the Church of Christ divided. And we wonder, how long, O Lord? There are in the church, in fact, so many factions. Let me talk about a few of them. Among them is what I'll call the unity at any price crowd, who would rather than avoid false doctrine simply turn a blind eye towards it, reconcile diversity, or Lutheran substance and evangelical style. That's the cry of compromise, and it's all made to sound so appealing. For such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. The church becomes so broad that she no longer has anything to say to the culture around her, of which she has merely become a religious reflection. Others seek a purity defined by a particular aspect of the church. I'll call it, let's make our own mark of the church crowd. For some, it might be something like liturgical purity, at least as they perceive it, where the siren call of Rome or Constantinople is impossible to resist. For others, it's liturgy plus something else. This is another example, perhaps the marital status of pastors, and so you get to stick some Latinized initials after your last name. On the other hand, there are those who I'll simply call the "we are purer than you" crowd. Unlike the first, they can't accept any diversity of thought, even in minor matters or external. Micro-synods proliferate, but they never seem to attain the unity that they thought they would obtain. In all this messiness, St. Paul wants us to know who the real enemy of the church is. There is a source of false doctrine. There is a deceiver and a liar behind every division within the church. False teachers are nothing more than his spokesman. Behind every division that exists within the church is the work of the one of whom Luther wrote in that great hymn, "The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Great guile and deep might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal." And yet to all who mourn the pain of our mother, the church, St. Paul makes a precious promise. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We are taken back by Paul to the beginning, to Genesis 3, when the serpent twisted the word of God and first heard of his impending crushing by the seed of the woman. Just like his false teachers, he beguiled Eve with smooth talk and flattery that deceives the hearts of the naive. And yet at Calvary, Satan's lies were exposed for what they truly are, as he felt his head crushed by the heel of the Christ. The blood of the atonement that was poured out, and through that, the human race reconciled to God. One life sacrificed, that through his death, Satan's ultimate weapon would be destroyed, that weapon of death, by the eternal proclamation of Easter, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And the old serpent, that enemy, that deceiver, that liar, felt the crushing heel of the woman's seed. But Paul writes this: the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Every time the water of baptism unites to Christ and his church, every time the body and blood of the Savior comes upon an altar, every time the forgiveness of sins of the entire world is proclaimed, Satan's head is crushed under our feet by the God of peace, whom we know through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the older I get, the more that I realize that there are tensions and paradoxes that I am incapable of ever resolving. I can only look in the mirror and pray, "Dear Lord, if it's I, straighten me out. Be wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil. Avoid those who bring division, and through the doctrine that they preach, look towards the one who is unity itself, unity with the Father, unity with each other. When you do, you will see that there is much more to the Holy Church than you thought that there was. Your mother, the church, the bride of Christ, washed in his blood, declared by him to be glorious and spotless, without blemish. The Holy Church, through whom the Father has given you life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.